All right, that was Beautiful Day by U2. Iron and Wine did Boy with a Coin. And this is the Birds, Turn, Turn, Turn. And you are tuned to your community radio station. Time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten in part by Jewel Gardens in Skagway, in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
Good morning, Joni.
Okay. So we have Mardell and Leslie Downer, a first time for Leslie.
Good morning.
With her beautiful flower beds.
I know. I've been trying to get Leslie to come on to talk about her garden expertise. She has some of the most beautiful flower beds in town, in my opinion. And so we're going to tap into her expertise on something else today. But before we get there, I've got a couple things that I want to talk about. And the first one is to say that there's a disclaimer. We have no financial interest in row covering companies. I went back and I listened to the last couple shows, and we talked a lot about row cover, and we get whatever one that you can get on your mail order. We don't have any locally at this point, but anyway, I was realizing how much we were touting and supporting these row cover companies, but I guess that's the nature of where we live, so.
Well, I think you support a lot of things in gardening just because it's practical, right?
And it is practical here.
And it's practical, so
get over it. Another thing I wanted to say was the registration is now open for the fermenting workshop that's going to be happening July 14th. So you're going to get a cheaper registration if you register before June 15th. And you must be registered by June 30th. We need to know how many supplies to get because it's a hands-on workshop. So go to eventbrite.com and search for the Haynes Fermenting Workshop, and you'll find it, and you can register there.
It's very easy. I did it yesterday.
Cool. Great. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we get closer to it. So and before we get into the topic that we want to talk about today, I got a question from a listener, and I always want to answer the questions we get from the listener, and it was, I found fly maggots in my seaweed. Could they be root maggot flies? And the answer is no. They can't be, or they would not be, because root maggots flies, which are out, I don't know if anybody else has seen them. I have seen those root maggot flies flying around, so you should have your stuff covered at this point, at least out the road. I've seen them out flying around. But those flies are what they call host specific, which means they are only going to lay their eggs in a place that their larvae can go and get food, which is the root system of plants. And they particularly like the brassica plants or root crops. So they lay their eggs on the stem of that plant. And that's the idea of what we're protecting against. Any fly that's going to lay its eggs in seaweed, they have a different purpose in the host scheme of things. Their purpose is decomposition. Those fly maggots are doing their job of decomposing that seaweed, which is what you want when you bring seaweed to your garden. So, but I don't know what those flies are specifically, but I can tell you they are not root maggot flies. So you don't have to worry about that. And I found the same things. Yeah, that's right. And I found the same things when we did seaweed a few weeks ago. I was digging in the seaweed pile, and it was just riddled with these maggots. And so I said, oh, good, they're coming to decompose my seaweed. So, okay, so we've got all of that business taken care of. Leslie called me at one point and said, hey, Mardell, do you know anything about phenology? And I went, what's phenology? And I looked it up, and this is the definition that I came up with. The study of cyclic and seasonal natural phenomena, especially in relation to climate and plant and animal life. So really what that means is I do this because I am seeing this in nature. Isn't that right? I mean, how would
Right. What you want to do is just observe nature, basically, and see what is happening, whether the dandelions are blooming, the forsythia is blooming, birch trees are starting to put out little leaves, and then that tells you soil temperature and when it's safe to plant and all that.
Mm-hmm. And so what she ended up doing, what Leslie did, is that she talked to a bunch of people in town to say, what are your signs? What have you used? And And a lot of this stuff has to come up through history.
Yes. And kind of, you know, phenology, maybe you can say, well, who cares? We've got, you know, the Weather Service. We've got all these wonderful websites that tell us, you know, soil temperature, nighttime temperature. So, you know, this is antiquated. But, you know, it is a little bit antiquated, but the first mercury thermometer wasn't invented until like 1714 over in Amsterdam. And so, you know, that it was probably years, maybe a century mm-hmm. before it was available to the general public. So these people had to rely on signs that told them, you know, okay, it's time to plant. It's okay. The soil is warm enough. Your plants will survive. And, you know, given the fact that that was pretty important mm-hmm. that the plants did survive, mm-hmm. so they survived, you know,
yeah,
that was
something.
Yeah,
you know, I hadn't really thought about what that would be like living without a thermometer, because
yeah.
you do depend upon that thermometer to rush out and cover your crops at night or
yes.
to,
yeah, we have these
things.
Beautiful weather forecasts that tell us, well, it's going to frost. And mm-hmm. so I don't think we're quite as observant as maybe mm-hmm. people were a century ago. Mm.
Probably you know? Not anywhere near as observant.
Right, yeah.
because we can depend upon these other things,
yes.
which I think gets us into trouble. Because
yeah.
we are in a time of changing right now. And I think it's also the nature of where we live that we need to be paying attention because things change, and you can't say, I'm going to plant my garden every year on the third week of May, like
yeah.
I used to.
I had an old-timer tell me that when you're driving down Cemetery Hill, if you look at the mountain range that's mm-hmm. just opposite of that, and you see the outline of Italy
oh, yes. mm-hmm. yeah.
there, then it's time to plant.
Right.
Oh, really?
ah. And it is nice to have those visual indicators because, yes, we have the internet, we have the Weather Service mm-hmm. and all that, but you have to click on it, go to it, look mm-hmm. at it. Whereas if I'm just driving to work and I see the dandelions blooming, it's like, oh, tonight I should probably put some seeds in the garden.
Uh-huh.
You
mm-hmm.
know, it's pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And wasn't it Art Jess that did talk about
yes.
the dandelions? And my impression was is that it was basically, that was when he said things could go into the ground.
Right, yeah, and that was kind of his classic. And that's another thing, you know. The phenology, looking at what's happening out in nature, it's also a reminder of people we know. You know, if your grandmother or mm-hmm. your friend or your cousin, you know, said these different things. You know, when mm-hmm. I see the dandelions every year, I think of Art Jess.
Mm-hmm. It's
you
true.
Know, it's
yeah.
just, it's very
mm-hmm.
sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
Blythe Carter, she goes by a birch tree when it has tiny leaves. And also, she has a vine maple next to her porch. And when it has tiny leaves, she will say, okay, it's safe to plant. She says she also goes by the dandelions, but she has ducks in her yard, so they eat them all. So she says she has yeah. a look at the road to make sure that she's on track there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go by the last full moon, meaning that it's going to be the last hard frost. I think people up at the farm kind of use that, so maybe like the last full moon in May would be an indicator of the last hard frost, but Leigh Galinsky would be a good person to ask
mm-hmm.
about that.
Or maybe the last full moon in April, actually, is what I would think, because
yeah.
most of the time we don't get too many frosts
right.
in May, most of the time.
Yeah, except for those Mother's Days where it snows.
Yeah, yes, that's right. And actually, it was 38 degrees out at our place
yeah.
this morning, so
yeah.
It's still getting cold at
yeah.
night. So.
And some people go by, you know, temperature where, you know, they do use our technology, the technology that we have, and they will check the history and, you know, if they have nighttime temps of, say, the high 40s to the low 50s, then, you know, for, say, a series of 5 days, then they feel like it's reasonably mm-hmm. safe to plant at that point.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because that has given enough heat to warm up that soil,
mm-hmm.
which is really the knowledge that we're looking for. I guess another way you could do it is to take a thermometer and test your soil, but not too many of us do that, actually.
Right.
But that those indicators are basically saying, oh, it's been warm long enough that the soil is warming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we've noticed in our valley, there are so many microclimates. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, what works for you isn't going to work for me.
Certainly.
And Annie Boyce talked about that. She said when she used to live out at 6 Mile, I think it was, she could plant earlier than she can in her house in town here.
Because of the microclimate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was elevated. She had amazing sun exposure. The soil drained well. So, you know, there was all those little characteristics of that spot that really gave her an advantage.
Which is another advantage of looking at phenology, too, in paying attention to what's going on in your situation in that in that little microclimate. Probably doesn't help so much if you've got a greenhouse or something, because you're creating your own little microclimate then. But to look around where you're actually planting is probably to your advantage, because it may be different than what's on the road a mile down the way.
And then another consideration is, you know, the dandelions can be up or whatever you're looking at, but you also have to consider your location. Like Fran Tungi talks about her location on the beach. She's got wind. And it doesn't matter if it's reasonably warm. If you have too much wind, those warm weather plants are going to really sulk. She said, like, if she puts her zucchini out too soon, even if it's nice, but it's windy, they just won't recover. So she just said, you just gotta wait.
But does the wind ever die?
Well, she waits till they get a little bigger,
bigger,
and a little
and
hardier.
They can withstand it. That makes sense. That's one thing that I've said a couple times, that I find that wind is one of the most damaging things to plant, more than cold, more than anything like that. Wind will rip a plant apart.
Especially those tender little ones. You really got to let them get bigger, get a few extra leaves that they can sacrifice and still survive.
So again, that's a little microclimate thing, but
And then as far as the, you know, using our technology, there is a wonderful weather website that Blythe Carter gave us, and it's way too long to say on the radio, but we will put it on the garden Facebook page, and then you can click into that, and what it does is it shows the previous 2 weeks of weather and temperatures, and so you can get a sense of, okay, the nighttime temps have been reasonable for 5 to 7 days here. I think it's going to be okay.
I think that I did not know about that website until you told me about it, and I am going to utilize it, because I say, oh, yeah, it's nice right now, but what was it like 5 days ago, or what was it like a week ago? And I don't have a good memory for that. So this website, I think, is a great resource to know, and so we will post it. Leslie is going to post it on the Facebook page, so you can go and look at it.
Is there a way to post it onto the Garden Conversation KHNS?
Not really.
Not really.
No, that's why we're using the Facebook, because the email coming into the Garden Conversation is you can talk to us, you can send us questions, but we don't have a way of really posting so that people can see it. So the Facebook page is the best avenue for that. So, but we can say that it is, it's timeanddate.com, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff after that. But if you wanted to look it up for yourself, timeanddate.com is the beginning of it. So,
and then as far as, you know, this spring has been tough. You know, it's been cold. We had a very cold open winter, not much snow. It was, you know, more like a white horse winter almost.
And, it was.
And we are sandwiched here. You know, we have the rainforest to the south of us. We have the cold, dry Canadian wilderness to the north of us. So, you know, we just never know what we're going to get, and it can really vary. Like, I keep track of my rhubarb. So April 24th, 1998, the rhubarb was 14 inches high, ready to harvest. April 24th, 2013, tiny buds, you know, just barely popping out. So we have these wild variations. And then, you know, the winter of 2012, we had 360 inches of snow, you know, and, you know, our normal average is 121. So we had three times the amount. So, and then you have this winter, no snow.
And the key to that, Leslie, is if you hadn't written down what your rhubarb was doing on a particular date on that year, you don't know, which is so important, this whole phenology thing, for most people is that you have to write things down in order to keep track.
I notice our memories are subject to failure, we think. Right. Well, I think it was like that, but you have to write it down.
And consistency, that's the, you know, I'll write it down 1 year and then 5 years will go by and I go, oh, I was going to keep track of that. So setting up a system for yourself to actually do it in a systematic way is really a valuable resource, not only to yourself, but what I really appreciate the fact is that this is a community, this is community information, and passing it among ourselves. Yes, we all have our own microclimates for sure. Mm-hmm. But there is, I think, a lot to be gained as a community by knowing some of this kind of things and observing it. Carol Paul, when I talk to Carol, she says, well, the dandelions and the daffodils usually are together. They bloom at the same time. This year, they're not, which is telling you that something is different in that soil. Mm-hmm. So keep on observing and writing down stuff, and let's make this a community effort to have this information, basically. Thank you very much, Leslie.
Thank you so much for your supporting local gardeners and helping us figure these things out.